Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love to connect with you. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus outbreak, we aren't meeting in person right now, but there are still a lot of ways to connect with our community. On Sunday mornings, you can worship with us online through our YouTube channel at 10 a.m. or join us for a special family ministry live stream worship over on our Facebook page at 10:30. We are at Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Our pastors are here to support you and connect you with our community so that you will remember, even during this time of social distancing, that you are not alone. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
So our reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 19, and it is the reading of the story that has inspired today's celebration of Palm Sunday. Hear these words from the Gospel of John. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Amen. Well, there are times in life when we can look around and we can see that something is not quite right. And then there's times where we can look around and miss it. We can think things are okay, but they're not. Now, we can miss seeing things that are not quite right because either we ignore it or pretend it isn't that way, or sometimes we just want to believe it's one way so we don't see how it really is. And then there's times like our current moment when we can look around and we know that things are totally not right, that they are completely messed up. And I don't know about you, but day to day, I vacillate between thinking things are just not quite right and knowing that things are completely messed up, depending on my mood, perhaps, or depending on what's going on in my mind or my heart. But the reality is that we range somewhere these days between knowing that things are not quite right and completely not right. And so here we are, for those of us that consider ourselves followers of Jesus, at the beginning of what we know is Holy Week, and we have a sense that things are not quite right. We have a sense of the where and the with, the whom we want to be with. We have a sense of how today, as Palm Sunday, is going to feel just different. And it's not going to be quite what we want, and it's going to be not quite right. And the whole week to come is going to feel perhaps different. I could rehearse the ways in which this whole week is going to perhaps be a moment in history that will feel very different when things are completely not right, but I know that you are tracking with all those things too. But here's what I want to do, is that I want to encourage us to understand and to seek out something that can help us in a time like this. I want to encourage us to find our way forward in these days and these moments so that we can know that God is with us, so that we can understand what God wants us to be, and so we can understand that we're not alone. That we're not alone in this, that we are with and for each other as we can, but yet also that God is with us, and that God does not want the world to be the way it is, and that God does not want to leave us alone as we experience this. So the question is, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it better through this week? How are we going to experience what God wants for us in this week when things are not quite right or in some ways completely not right? Well, what I want us to do is to consider remembering what God has done for us and not forgetting what God has done for us. Or to put it in another way, I want us to avoid making the mistake that the disciples made back in that first day when Jesus was entering Jerusalem. I want us to look in their lesson and see if we can avoid doing what they did so we don't forget what God was up to. Because if we can remember what God was up to then, there's hope because God is up to the same thing now. And so what I want to encourage us to do is to not miss out on what God is doing. Because here's what the disciples did then, and I think we can fall into the same trap now, is that they wanted the moment to be what they thought it should be instead of what God wanted it to be. The mistake they'd made is they wanted to be the moment to be what they wanted it to be, and they missed out on what the moment really was. And that's the mistake I want us to make. I don't want us to make. Journey to Jerusalem. And in this particular instance, it was the week of the Passover, and Jesus was coming to town, and he had been staying nearby, and then he was making his way, and news, good news travels fast, right? And so the crowd, the people of Jerusalem, found out that Jesus was coming to town. So they didn't know that he was going to be executed at the end of the week. All they knew was this amazing rabbi who had been traveling around, who had raised somebody from the dead, who had been teaching great things, who had been healing the sick, who had been feeding the hungry, that this guy was coming to town. They also knew that he had outwitted the religious leaders of Israel at the day. They also had that he had gained respect of some of the Roman leaders at the time. All these things were culminating and were becoming the story of Jesus. And so that's who they knew was coming to town. So they said to themselves, well, we better watch out. We better not cry. We better not pout because you know who is coming to town. I bet you thought I might be saying that other guy, but we'll save his story, or rather not, but we'll think about him in December. But of course, they knew that Jesus was coming to town. So let's put ourselves in the shoes or the sandals or the bare feet, perhaps, of these people that were part of the crowd that day. Now, these people were the people of Israel, the Jewish people living in first century Israel-Palestine under Roman rule. And these people, most of them would have been experiencing a great deal of poverty. Most of them would have been living meal to meal. They would not have had much by the way of financial means. Many of them, most of them probably, were illiterate. Most people back then were. They had been experiencing religious leadership exploitation because of the way the Sadducees and the Pharisees had been running things. They had been experiencing the ways in which the Roman occupiers, the evil Romans, had been ruining their lives and all these kinds of things. And so they were getting fed up. They were desperate. And so periodically, they would have a glimmer of hope that these sufferings, that these things would end. And so when a guy like Jesus, who had developed a following, you know, he had these 12 fellows and some women that were following him, when he was coming to town, it would have been great news. And in particular, what they were expecting was that Jesus was going to roll into town and start a revolution. In particular, they thought that he was going to start a religious and political revolution so that he could then free them from their Roman oppressors and from the mixed up situation they had with their religious leaders in the day. And here's what they were thinking to themselves. They knew the stories of Jesus. Some of them had seen these things, and some of them had experienced these things. There was this Lazarus who was dead that Jesus had raised from the dead. There was the miracles of feeding. There was the teachings that he laid down. All these different things. They would have saw those as signs that God was with Jesus. And if God was with someone in this particular way, then they would have assumed, they would have hoped, and they would have prayed that Jesus was the one sent by God to free them from their Roman oppressors. And so that's the constant, the context and the story that they would have been telling. And so if that's what they thought, then they thought Jesus was going to be the new national hero that they had been waiting for. They would have assumed that Jesus was going to come in rolling with his 12 followers, you know, set up for his executive branch, his cabinet, his treasury secretary, you know, that Judas guy, a little sketchy, but still, you know, that's what his role was. And they would have assumed that there would have been a small militia perhaps coming with him in order to inaugurate the reign of Jesus as the new king of Israel. the one who would free them from the oppression of the Romans. And so if you were going to be a first century Palestinian living era Jew, you would have known how to welcome someone like Jesus, and you would have done exactly what they did. You would have gathered early that morning, and you would have cut down the palm branches that you needed to wave in front of someone as they were arriving. You would have been on the lookout for the kind of animal that they were going to ride in as a status symbol so they could understand how powerful he was. You would have been looking for the people following him that were closest because you knew that they were going to be the lieutenants and the generals and the magistrates in the new order that Jesus was presumably going to set up. And then you would have had your cheer all set up too, because if you've got a national hero showing up, you got to do something special. You got to make a count for him. And so that's what they did, and they got themselves all ready, and they got out there, and then they knew Jesus was coming, and they probably were waiting, like large crowds. No large crowds right now, please, but, you know, just let's hear that story. And Jesus, I imagine, turned that corner, and they started waving their palm branches. In some versions of the story, they laid their cloaks down on the road, and they started saying that great cheer, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, I gotta admit, when I read that in English, I have this super hope in my mind that whatever the language they were speaking in, whether it was ancient Hebrew or ancient Aramaic, that it sounded a little more like a pep cheer, because I read it and it goes, oh, that's kind of cute, that's kind of nice, you know, Jesus is gonna keep things all right. But really, I just hope there was some more power behind all that. But let's just say that it worked for them because it was a song from the Psalms. It was a song from the Psalm 118, portions of which we heard early in our service, that speaks to what it's like to welcome a national hero home, one who had brought liberation to the people, one who had, after victory, found their way to the temple to worship God and thank God for delivering them. And so it was the perfect song for them to sing. So they sang it, and Jesus made his way through. And here's what the problem was. Things weren't not right. There were little things that really signified big things that were not quite right in that moment. There were some cues that they missed that day that could have clued them into what God was doing. Now, they had a set of expectations that made them see things the way that they wanted to see them. They had expectations that Jesus was going to come riding in on a war horse of some kind. And instead, Jesus comes riding in on a donkey, the most humble animal that you can imagine. They would have expected that Jesus was going to show up with a crowd of people following him. It says that the crowds were there to greet him, not to follow him through the city. Different expectations. And when Jesus responded to them, when Jesus found his way forward, he heard the cheers of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But what they didn't realize was that Jesus had not been sent by God to start a political revolution, but rather seemingly Jesus was sent by God to start a revolution for the whole world. And all these little things, if they were able to pay attention, they would have seen that things were not quite right. And that God wasn't up to what they thought God was up to. Rather, God was up to what we know God was up to, which was God wasn't bringing liberation to one group of people through Jesus, as good as that would have been for those people at that time. Parenthetically, you know, if Jesus had liberated the Jews from the Roman oppressors at that one time, history seems to suggest that somebody else would have come in and conquered them. They were constantly being conquered. And so what we can see from what Jesus did in that moment and that entry into Jerusalem was that God was using Jesus to reorient the sense of what God was up to. God wasn't going to inaugurate a season where might makes right for people. Rather, God was inaugurating a new world where salvation was going to be there for all people. Now, the disciples, parenthetically, didn't quite get this either. It says right there in that reading we heard a minute ago, that it wasn't until much later that the disciples understood what Jesus was up to. It wasn't until after Jesus had died and had been raised from the dead and perhaps even been ascended into heaven that the disciples were able to put into context what God had actually done. But yet, something was not quite right in that moment. And if we can see that for ourselves, we can better understand that God wasn't trying to liberate one group of people, but God was liberating the whole world from the power of sin and death. God wasn't bringing about temporary salvation for one group of people. God was bringing about eternal salvation for all people. And that's what we celebrate now. And if we miss what isn't quite right about that moment, then we might not understand what God did then is still true for us today. We will miss the fact that God was bringing about eternal salvation, and we will leave that to the side because things are not quite right for us right now. When we forget that, we don't bring the fact that God loves us, that God brings eternal love to us, we forget to bring that into all circumstances. We forget to bring that with us as we go into the difficult moments that we face. And if there's anything we can say about what God wants for us in this moment, is that God wants us to bring love into all the difficult circumstances. God wants us to bring hope into all the circumstances that we face. And we can rest with great confidence that that's exactly what God did through Jesus in that time, that God brought eternal salvation to us all instead of just temporary salvation for one group. So as we go forward in this Holy Week, I want to encourage us to remember this. I want to encourage us to claim this for ourselves. I want us to remember these things so we don't forget what God has done. Because what God did then is still what God is doing now. God is still bringing about eternal salvation for this world. We can see that and we can cling to that hope. There is no way in which whatever circumstances we face that God stops bringing us salvation. So in this very moment, and in the week to come, and in the weeks to come, let us cling to that hope that God has brought about eternal salvation for us all, so we can share that love with all people. Now, what God did for us back then is still true for us today, but what God did was not just for those who know of God's love, but those who don't know of God's love as well. God did something for the whole world. And so the call to remember that God loves us eternally is not a call to withdraw from loving the world. Rather, it's a call to embrace loving the whole world, to do what we can in this time, to maintain our social distance for sure, but to make sure that we are spreading the hope and the love and the peace of God in all that we do. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what God did through Jesus. And that's what God will continue to do with us and for us, is to help us cling to that eternal love now and always. So I hope that together we can acknowledge that things weren't quite right back then on that day when Jesus entered Jerusalem. I hope we can join with the disciples in seeing after the fact how great it was what God did. And I hope that we can all remember and claim and cling to the truth of God's eternal love that does not fail us and is with us now and always. Because in this week, which we call Holy Week, we can be reminded of this in a special way that can carry us forward in this day and in all the days to come. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.